Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network.
All right. Well, bless y'all. Thanks for inviting me to speak. I'm supposed to fill in between now and dinner, but you know, dinner can be two different things.
Well,
we give awards. It was requested that I speak on worship today. So just so you know, I can sometimes do requests. I'm going to honor that. We're gonna worship God by learning about worship. How's that sound?
Okay.
So this will be kind of fun, I think. And I think we'll all receive a bit from this. Psalm 99, verse 9 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord your God is holy." That's the whole reason for worship, is the holiness of God. But there's more to it. Psalm 118, beginning in verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Let Israel now say, his mercies endure forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercies endure forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercies endure forever." Now you can see how that was written for the congregation to respond. And a lot of that in the Psalms actually are written for the congregation during worship. They're written, actually, much of it was written during worship, for worship.
His mercy endures forever.
Amen. His mercy endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." I love that too, because those aren't just words, but those are actual instructions for us for entering in to the presence of God. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You begin with thanksgiving, you go in with praise, but we get in there, we're worshiping. There's going to be more to it. You'll see this, but we worship him for who he is. We praise him for what he's done, and we thank him for what he will do. That's why I learned that years ago. When I pray for people, when I pray to God, I thank him for what I'm asking him to do, what I desire, because that's faith. Yes. You're thanking him with faith for something that hasn't happened yet. Yes. And that's different than saying, than pleading. You see what I'm saying? And so it's different when I pray for somebody in its health. It's something physical. I speak to the issue.
Yes.
Speak like Jesus. That's where you learn this, is from Jesus. You know, he didn't pray for someone to get healed. He told them to get healed. You know, so when we pray for someone and it's something within their body or within their life or whatever, speak to the issue and then thank God for having taken care of it, right?
Yeah.
Thank the Lord for taking care of the situation, but we have to join with him. When it comes to issues on the earth, who has dominion? We do, because he gave it to us. Not because we're so special or so great or so powerful, but because he, in his choice, gave dominion to man. Now let's face it. We haven't always used it for what we should be using it, but we as Christians should be using it for what he desires us, which is to bring glory and grace on the earth. Amen. And release it, right? When Jesus was in the garden and he prayed that prayer in John 17, he says, "The glory which you've given to me, I've given to them." And so we don't need to pray for the glory to get down anymore. We need to pray for the glory to get out, right? So it's in us. We need to let it out, right? So thank God for that. So in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Now we know we like to have the wise men in the nativity scene, but we know they came quite a bit after when he was a toddler. But nevertheless, they came because they were following the star, right? And they came to King Herod, because that would be etiquette. Come check the king out, you know, so just don't wander into his kingdom. And they said, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, then, you know, Herod was a little concerned about that, because number one, you know, God had said, "I'll keep David on the throne, keep the seed of David on the throne." And David's seed hadn't been on the throne for a while. And Herod wasn't even Jewish, much less the seed of David. So he was a little concerned about that. All about power. unfortunately, when they get in power, they hate to leave power, right? So sometimes we have that problem, and we have to, when we see them breaking the rules, we have to go to the Lord on this. Amen? Because when they power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So we absolutely have to go to somebody higher up. We got to pull rank on them, just like the wise men did. They pulled rank on Herod because they went and saw the king. So anyway, so we know what Herod said, and let's see. Then Herod, verse 7, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, so they had some idea when he was born. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Liar. That sounds good, doesn't it? And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary. They were in a house by this time, not in the manger, not in the stable, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Now let me ask you a question. What are they worshiping a baby for? What has he done? He hasn't done anything. See, because we worship God for who he is, not for what he's done. You praise him for what he's done. But worship has only to do with who he is. That's why you want to be careful with who you worship. Amen. So they came and they worshiped him as a child, as the Messiah, the King of the Jews, just because of who he was. Amen. Now, of course, they knew prophecies about him and what he was going to do, but praise the Lord for that. But he hadn't done any of those things yet. All right? So anyway, I thought that was just wonderful. They came and they worshiped him, and they presented him with treasures. And they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we don't know how many wise men there were, magi there were, but there were seven. There were three gifts. We know that much, okay? So we generally give three guys with three gifts, whatever. Point is that worship has to do with giving to the Lord also. If you're really, truly impressed with God, you recognize everything you have is because of him. Amen. All the blessings come down from above. All the great gifts come from above, it says in Scripture, right? So they presented him with all these gifts, and Mary was like, did you bring any diapers? Probably not. But these were some pretty powerful, wonderful things that they were going to need pretty quick here. It says, and then, verse 12, and they, being warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Here's something I want you to understand about worship. It opens the doors to heaven. It's a great way to put yourself in a position to receive revelation. I know what happens to me all the time. We get into worship, and I used to always have a notepad where I'd take notes, and you know, things would come, and I'd write them down. And now I got my phone, so I just put them in my text, and at the end of the service I send them home. They're already on my computer. But worship opens the heavens. And you know, sometimes I have to be careful not to be distracted by the revelation I'm getting during worship, because I want to worship, but just remember it. And then, you know, during the break, put it down, get it on your phone, get it on your notes, whatever, because you want to honor God with what he's downloading, whatever he's giving you. Well, here was pretty powerful and pretty important, because they got a dream not to go back to Herod. Well, of course, we know if you keep reading, Joseph got a dream too. Also, get out of town, you know. But point is that worship will open the doors. Just go in with thanksgiving, go in with praise, and when you get in there, things start to download, things start to come. Expect it. I mean, go in there to worship the Lord, but don't deny when he starts to download things, because it's for you. And take it seriously. A lot of times we need to write those things down to show the Lord that we're paying attention, you know, so he'll give us more. You have a dream? Write it down as soon as you wake up. You know, put it down so you're showing the Lord you're paying attention to what he's given. Not whether it makes sense or anything at that moment, just write it down. Amen? Same with ideas that he gives you. Write them down. Sometimes they're just meant for you to pray. They're not meant for you to actually take action on and go do. You might be praying it for someone else, but the point is take action with it in the sense of honoring God Write it down, amen, so you have it. Yeah. And it's amazing how many times I'll put down something that doesn't make any sense, and then later, all of a sudden, things come together, and you go, oh my goodness. You know, I could tell you many examples, but I won't today. I don't want to get off track here. But so anyway, there was an example there with Jesus when he was a young child. He hadn't done anything yet, and yet they're worshiping. Isn't that wonderful? 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14. Elisha said to the Lord of hosts, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you." He's talking to the king of Israel, okay, who was the son of Ahab. He didn't really like him. King Ahab was a bad dude. His kids were bad dudes. And Elisha doesn't really care for him. And this isn't the normal way you would talk to a king, but Elisha was kind of like that. And he said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat down there in Judah, I wouldn't even spit in your direction, basically. But the king was asking him for some wisdom. He wanted to hear from God on fighting a battle. He says, I wouldn't even look at you. But, so in other words, you could say Elisha is not very inspired to ask the Lord for some revelation for this guy.
Yeah. Right?
Right? So he's not really in a good spot. But I love this because he says, but bring me a musician. And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, make the valley full of ditches. And he gives him the revelation on how to win the battle. He says, you're going to be delivered from the Moabites if you do what I tell you to do. See what I mean about sometimes we might be stirred up with the things of the day. We might have the pressures of all the things in our life. Lay them aside. Come in. Worship. Things change. Maybe all those things out there haven't changed yet. But things change in you. And all of a sudden you can hear. Sometimes things that seemingly you couldn't find a way, you couldn't see the way, you couldn't see the door. During worship, all of a sudden things become clearer and you see the door. You understand what direction God's saying. Or sometimes you just get the strength to go through what you really don't want to go through, but it's right before you and you know you're going to have to. But you've got the strength now to do it. So if he'll do it for Ahab's son, he'll do it for you for sure. You know, Jesus died for you. So he's got a lot invested in you, right? Another good one is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, because Saul had sinned, and he kept sinning, and eventually an evil spirit came on him. It says, and so it was whenever the evil spirit was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Isn't that cool? Wow, just because David played the harp, you know, but it's about worship. It's about, taking your eyes off yourself and putting them on him. It's like that saying about when you look inside, you get depressed. If you look outside, you get stressed. But if you look at him, you get impressed, right? So we want to keep our eyes on him. Now Luke, take a look at Luke. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. When we get into worship, no matter what we came in with, we're going to exchange it for joy. It just happens. Verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now they Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, I wonder, I love looking at that. And the angels are messengers. Now, of course, some of them are fighters and some of them are do different things. But certainly these were messengers that brought the message to the shepherds so they could go. And they knew where to go. If you've heard me teach on that, you know, there was a specific place where the manger was that the shepherds knew. And matter of fact, in most translations, here it says that you'll find the babe lying in a manger. But in the Greek, as well as the Aramaic, it's lying in the manger, which means something different. Point is that here is this baby. He hasn't done anything except born. He's just been born, because swaddling clothes means they're just cleaning him up, you know, and doing the dedication. And here come the shepherds, and here come the angels. One thing I want you to see there, though, is it says in verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, not singing. We always think that angels sing. Matter of fact, we sang today the angels said, which was right. The angels said. There's no place in the Bible where angels sing. Isn't that interesting? So we always have them singing on TV and in our plays and all that kind of stuff. There's one place in Job chapter 38, verse 7, where it says there was a time. He's talking about when he was talking to Job. Were you around when I founded the earth? Were you around when I did this, when I laid all these foundations and everything? And he says in verse 7, he says, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. In other words, the only thing it says in Scripture about angels is that they sang way back when, a long time ago. How is that? Isn't that interesting? Well, I don't want to go into it. It's a great message all on its own. Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, when Satan was tempting Jesus, he said, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this. Now, Jesus came to take all this. So that was a real temptation. A shortcut. Don't have to go to the cross. Just do a little worship on the side here. Didn't work out, though. He told him, get behind me, Satan. Amen. I don't know why they dedicated that song to me the other day about getting behind Satan, but maybe they think I say that a lot. But I took it as a compliment. Get behind me, Satan. Get out of here, boy. We want the presence of the Lord. Amen? So, here's something on this line. Okay, just Ezekiel 28. I won't read the whole thing, but verse 12. Son of man, take up the lamentation of the king of Tyre and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond. I'm going to jump down. You were in the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Who's it talking about? Lucifer. And it talks about his pipes. I'm not going to go in there and find it for you, but it describes him like the music came out of him. He and said he stood before the congregation. He was the worship leader in heaven. Lucifer was. And he kind of, like a lot of musicians, got up there and he kind of liked being up there and kind of liked what was coming, but it was supposed to go past him to God, right? He was just the leader, but he got addicted to that, I guess, and then he was found with iniquity in his heart. So what I believe happened is when he got kicked out, he took all the choir with him. A third of the angels were the singing angels. And they don't sing anymore. The angels don't sing anymore, but who do? Who influences our music a lot? Lucifer and his guys, they know how to play chords. They know how to play music. They do influence the music scene. That's why there's so much demonic in the music scene. But there's also, God has given us a spirit of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot of good music coming from heaven too now. But before the Lord ascended back up on high and gave gifts unto men and gave us the Holy Spirit, between that time, I believe, the angels weren't singing. There was a time when that was their job. Those angels got kicked out. Messenger angels are still around. Warrior angels are still around. Anyway, that's just my viewpoint on what Scripture is, but there's a lot more details why I believe that. But Lucifer wants that worship. And we can get involved in worship through music.
Right.
And we want our music. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't have to sound that great. but the thing is, though, it's joyful. And the Lord loves it. The Lord receives it.
Yes.
Amen? It's a good thing, too, because I don't always sing on key. But the Lord seems to love it. And so He appreciates that. And I know He does. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Look on in Acts chapter 2, verse 7, on the day of Pentecost. I love this. And then they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, look, are not these all who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Jump down to verse 11. Cretans, Arabians, and we hear them speaking in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. God has given us a spirit that it can even bypass our soul and bypass our mind and bring forth the wonderful works of God in our language and in other languages. Wow. Pretty good, huh? I think He's called you to take the place of the angels that He's kicked out in that area, okay? We're doing other things that they couldn't do. We're related to Him. They're not. They were created. We were born into the family, right? And then through adoption, we get in line for an inheritance. But you have a spirit in you that desires to worship God. And you know what? Every time we worship God, I think it burns the devil a little bit. Because that was His job. And He could complain about you not singing as good as He. You're off key, or maybe just me. But the point is that He can get upset and He can say, well, Lloyd sings off key. And God says, shut up. I love Him singing. You know, because I got the Spirit of God in me that wants to worship and sing, bring forth the wonderful works of God. And you know, in those days when I don't really know what to say and I'm not sure what to thank God for, I have a spirit in me that always is ready to go. And I have a spirit that's always ready to be released to bring the wonderful works of God, release them into the world. Amen? Isn't that powerful? Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad of that. And so I am kind of happy to do that every once in a while in the devil's face. You know, he's getting a little bit on me, pulling a few little strings, you know, and doing things that are kind of irritating me. And I can praise the Lord.
Amen.
And I can burn Him, right? Every time He reminds me of where I came from, I just remind Him where He's going. Right? And remind Him of what God has done and what He is doing and what He will do. Amen. Thank the Lord for who He is.
Amen.
Hey, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But because of Jesus and what He accomplished on the cross, we can come boldly into His presence. Right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, we have confidence to enter the holy places because of the blood of Jesus. Thank goodness for that. We can go places that the devil and all his angels that were much better equipped, in a sense they were created to worship, they got kicked out of. Now you can go in there even though you're still learning how to do it. Isn't that great? We have access to places where we can go, even though I like what it says in Scripture, that the heir differs not from a servant, even though he's heir of all, when he's a child. When it comes to the age of the angels, we're young whippersnappers. We're still in, you remember the Flintstones? Remember Bam Bam? I always love Bam Bam because he's in diapers, but he was more powerful than any of them.
Yeah.
That's you.
Bam, bam.
That's you. You are, spiritually speaking, in diapers when it comes to the age of the angels. But the angels, I'm talking about the three quarters of the angels that stayed with the Lord, they're highly motivated to teach you the secrets of the Spirit.
Amen.
Because they are the servants of God and they know you're the heir and you're going to rule over them. So they're motivated because they know someday you're going to watch the videos on how good they did on taking care of you. And so they're motivated to take good care of you now. Isn't that cool? So you A young whippersnapper still in diapers, and you know what you do in diapers, so you need to get cleaned up anymore every once in a while, right? We make messes. But we're learning and we're growing, and we get to go into places that the devil has got been kicked out of, and we get to go in there and imperfectly praise the Lord, and he loves it. Now, that's not because of you or me. That's because of what Jesus did. But thank goodness, huh? We can go into places and we can praise the Lord. And I just love that. I just love that. And the angels love it, too. Remember how excited they got when Jesus was born? They said, look, you guys, this is coming to mankind. Your Savior. They hadn't done anything yet, but there's joy now in heaven. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace for the help in time of need. We can come boldly, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done. Amen. We can praise the Lord for that. We can thank the Lord for that. It's not because of what you've done, but you can choose to go in or you can choose not to go in. Why would you choose not to go in? Maybe some people don't go in because they've never been taught they can. Well, now you know. You can come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy, to obtain grace. Grace is the goal, but you need mercy to get to the place where you can get it. Amen? So we'll teach on that another time, mercy and grace. But just so you know, because of Jesus and because of his blood, you now can come in there. Not because you're perfect, but because he's perfect. Amen? He's the one that's perfect. The people will always remind you how imperfect you are. The devil will always remind you of how imperfect you are. Just remind them it's not because of your perfection that you got invited. It's because of Jesus' perfection. All you did, like I always say, in heaven it has to do with nepotism. It's not what you know, but who you know. You know Jesus, so you get to go in. Amen? So let's hang out with Jesus and we'll be happy. The object of worship is God, okay? Psalm 99, verse 5. He's deserving of worship because he's holy. Exalt the Lord your God and worship at his footstool because he is holy. Nothing else is deserving of our worship. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. Right? All that other stuff and everything the devil tries to bring before you, you just say no. I'm worshiping the Lord God. Yes. Amen. Yes. Not even the angels are worthy of worship. Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard those things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Well, that's understandable, the power that was there. But the angel said, see that you don't do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. So worship God. Amen. Amen. Remember back in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, when Nebuchadnezzar set up his golden image and everybody had to worship the golden image. And Shadrach, Meshach, and off the bed you go said, no way. Right? They said, we're not going to bow down to your golden image. And they could have hid themselves in the corner and they could have said, you know, we'll just leave town on that day or whatever. But they didn't do that. They just said, no, we're not going to do it. And you know that Nebuchadnezzar got pretty angry with them, as government officials sometimes do when you question their authority that they think they have that they don't have, right? So he got angry with them, and he had the burning fiery furnace ready to get thrown in there. And they said, well, hey, basically they said, look, God won't allow anything to happen to us, but even if he does. In other words, they said, but even if he does. In other words, they weren't really sure if God would save them. They just knew he could. But either way, we're not bound down to your stupid golden image. Then that made him even madder. Right? They didn't take how to win friends and influence people. So he threw them in. And right, and remember the guys that threw them in burned up.
Right.
But they went in there and they just had a little party. They praised the Lord. And he looked and said, what? Did we throw three in? But I see four. And the fourth one is like the Son of God. And the only thing that burned was what bound them. Sometimes you come into worship and you're bound up with all kinds of things. And during the worship, all those things drop off. So verse 28 of Daniel chapter 3, he spoke saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, that they have frustrated the king." It's the king saying this. "They frustrated the king's word and yield their bodies, that they should not serve or worship any god except their own God."
Amen.
Think the Lord will show up if you praise him. Think the Lord will show up if you're worshiping him, especially if there's times of pressure. Sometimes, matter of fact, it's only while we're on earth we're going to have the opportunity to worship him in times of stress and pressure and disappointment and so on, and loss. Because you're not going to experience any of those things in heaven. That's one thing we can worship him for. Is there a day coming when we're not going to have any of that? No tear anymore. No pain anymore. So I just love that old Nebuchadnezzar. He got converted there pretty quick. So in order to worship, we must, number one, we have to understand worship. And we, number two, we have to acknowledge that God is the object of true worship. And then number three, we need to put away our idols that compete with worshiping God, compete with our own heart, compete within our own lives. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, I'll start. "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment besides greater than these.'" Now it's interesting. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Some places he says the heart, soul, and mind, but here he adds strength. That's talking about physical. In other words, I'm a Baptist. I was raised Baptist, okay? So it was a major, I don't know what to call it, a miracle. But it really took a lot of the Holy Spirit for me to get my hand up like this, or even up like this. You know what I'm saying? It was like to get your physical body involved. But he said strength even. It's your body gets involved. In worship, we can get involved. Yeah. Our body can get involved in that. You know, we went and heard the guy, Mercy Me guy, when they had Mercy Me. It was so funny because he grew up Baptist. And he said they weren't allowed to dance. He said, because that was a sin. He says, but now that he's on stage, he says he can do it because that's choreography. In other words, we should get involved in worship. You know, it's okay to be like David and be abandoned in worship. Amen. And so anyway, the heart, soul, mind, and strength, spirit, soul, and body. And don't be afraid to get your body involved there. But he summed up all the law and the prophets in those two commandments, which sums up the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, the first four are about God and about worship, and the next six are about man and things that man should do. Now, all ten of those are things that that God gave us for man. So the first four, they have to do with God. Okay, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no idols. You shall not take the name of your God in vain, the Lord your God in vain, and keep the Sabbath day holy. Okay, those are seemingly about God, but Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So in other words, what we learn in there, in all those commandments, God gave them to us to help us. He doesn't need them.
Amen.
He gave them to us to help us to prosper, to have the blessings. If we'll follow those commandments, we're going to have the blessings. Now, those first four, like I said, they have to do with God and worshiping God and putting God first. And that four is the number for the world in the sense of, you know, north, south, east, west, that kind of thing. The six commands that come after that for man, six is the number for man and for work. You got to put some effort into those things. But the point is that these first four, he's setting it down for us, Get your act right with me. Have your eyes on me. Have your perspective on me. And so those commandments, when we look at those commandments in light of worship, they're not so hard. And what I love about the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy, that was created for man. That's your time with the Lord. Now he's kind of setting a pattern. Okay, one day of the week. So that's 1/7 of your time basically. Make sure at least 1/7 of your time is with the Lord. That should be something we look forward to. That it's not a burden. It's not something we have to do, but it's a time with Him. And if you're actually spending time with Him, and He's downloading, like I was explaining earlier, you look forward to that time with Him. You know, it's not just in church. It's not just during when there's praise and worship being played, but it's an attitude of worship that you have, that attitude towards the Lord. You carry it with you. You can carry the Sabbath in your heart, the time with the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 21 verse 1. And he looked up and he saw the rich men putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in her 2 mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. I want to talk a little bit just about giving. Because when we give, we should have an attitude of worship. We don't give out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver, right? We're giving to Him because He deserves it. Actually, He deserves everything, right? Basically, He has said, if you'll give the tithe, I'm going to count that as if you're giving everything. Now, you can give more than that. But what I like to watch some of the discussions on, well, it's not in the New Testament. The tithing's not in the New Testament, which it is in the New Testament because Jesus said you should tithe. That's New Testament. But point is that people always are, it seems to me, and I saw one here recently where they were talking about, well, you know, you shouldn't tithe. You don't put yourself under the law. Well, tithing was before the law,
right.
You know.
Right.
David, when no, I'm thinking of, Joseph. When Joseph went in and Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him, and he said to her, how could I sin against God and my master by committing adultery? There was no Ten Commandments yet. So how did he know that was a sin against God? Because he knew it. It's in his heart. Just like giving is in your heart. See, that was before the law, all right? So that's what I'm trying to get at, is that, so people were talking about, well, you should just give generously, you don't have to worry about it. How can you be generous and not even give the minimum? That's not generous. But it shouldn't be burdensome, it should be worshipful.
Yes.
Amen? So give what you feel is in your worship, all right? And let the Lord bless you. Because I know one thing, we've learned it from ourselves, is that, you know, and in our own experience, is that if you give, and the blessings, they come so that you just want to give more. And we've actually had to have the Lord pull us back, because we're giving. You can't outgive God, but you can outgive your own faith. So the Lord has said, you know, when we were younger, especially, you know, pull back a little bit there. You've got to grow a little bit more before you can afford that, you know. But it's an attitude of worship. And we're doing it spirit, soul, and body. Amen. With all your strength. And I just love that. And I love this story because in heaven, they keep accounts differently. She gave all she had. On earth, boy, they really liked those princes that were given all that money. And when you got to pay the rent, you know, that's the kind of money that they take. They take the same as the princes have, right, or as the rich men have. But in heaven, they can spend that widow's mite. And as ministers of the gospel, we have to stand before the Lord honoring the widow's mite. Because in His eyes, that was worth more than the what we would call dollars, what they'd call shekels and things.
Yep.
That you need that for to spend on earth, but it's different in heaven. So you got to honor the heavenly gifts and those people that are given according to His standards. Does that make sense? So as someone that, you know, receives that, you got to honor those things and have that kind of attitude. It's not just the amount, it's not the dollar amount, but it's the heart. Amen. Like that woman gave. And I'm going to end with this one in Psalm 22, verse 3. But you are holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel. Think of that. He's enthroned on the praises of his people. And we know his throne's in heaven, right?
Right.
Yes.
But when we praise him, he's enthroned on our praises here.
Yes.
When we praise him, it's like the Spirit comes in and sets himself down on those praises. And he's enthroned in our presence. I don't know about you, but I kind of like it when the Lord shows up down here.
Yeah.
Amen? Or maybe he'll take us up there, you know, in worship. But the point is that he's enthroned on our praises. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So doesn't that make you want to praise the Lord? You want to thank the Lord? So, all right. Well, I'm gonna praise the Lord right now and end with a prayer. And then I'll turn it over to Pastor. So thank you, Lord, and praise you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you that not because of anything we did, but because of what you accomplished, we have access to you.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for all that you are, not only what you've done, but you are holy. We can only achieve holiness through Jesus. And we want to come into your presence and we want to receive of you. And we want to receive something that we can bring to others. We want to receive something from heaven that we can loose on earth. So Lord, bless all your children here today. Every single one, from the youngest to the eldest. We pray your blessings, because we know the oldest among us is still in diapers when it comes to the heavenly beings. We're still learning. We're still growing. And we're going to spend eternity with you. And we're going to know even more of the greatness of your glory and your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, that as we come into your presence with praise, as we come into your courts with thanksgiving, and Lord, as we worship you, that certainly the heavens do open. And you're enthroned on our praises. And we get to sit in your presence. We get to have those crowns that we get to lay at your feet. So thank you, Lord, for the blessings and the glory. May it be here for us now. And may we also be here for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this message from the Fellow Laborers International Network. For further information, contact us at P.O. Box 113, Missoula, Montana 59803. Our email address is flintnet@flintnet.org. Our website is www.flintnet.org.